Welcome to the Fatty Z Muskie Podcast. I'm Andy, joined by Vance in the new Fatty Z Muskie Podcast studio. We have Todd Young technically on speakerphone, but he's kind of wired in. Hopefully this is going to turn out better. We got a makeshift studio with a whole bunch of higher-end equipment. We're going to see what's really going on here. I'm hoping this ain't going to fall flat on our face. Anyways, it's our first attempt at recording this. It's starting over. Bear with us. It should get better. Podcast brought to you by Fatty Z Muskie Products. Check us out. FattyZMuskie.com. Fatty Z Muskie Products on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I am slowly getting some more people liking the YouTube channel.
No way.
About once every couple weeks. One person every couple weeks.
Unbelievable.
So it's working.
They're probably robots. Fake people.
No, they're real.
No, they are.
I assume.
It's not like a supermodel.
Yeah, a supermodel.
But, you know, like how we get it on like Instagram. We'll like post a picture and it'll be like, whoa, thanks so much for posting that. And it's like a picture of like somebody in a bikini. And I'm just like, ugh, delete.
You don't think they're real and you're going to message them?
I'm pretty certain they're robots.
There's lots of bikini women muskie fishing.
There is.
Yeah, there is.
There's also a lot of fat guys with beer cans in the background, too.
There's a lot more of those.
I like that. I like those more than the bikini models. It's a real feel.
The BS meter doesn't register.
Yes.
Okay. Lost in the plug. St. Croix rods. Thank you very much, St. Croix. Best on earth if you're looking for any rod. Trout, panfish, bass, muskie, surf, ice fishing. Mm-hmm. Check out St. Croix rods. They probably got a rod that'll fit your need. And I want to thank Boss Shad. You can find Boss Shad at Mark's Bait Tackle and Ammo in Ravenna, Ohio. Ha, I got you guys. It's Ravenna, Ohio.
It's Ravenna, Ohio.
Ravenna, Ohio. I got...
Yeah, we got crushed for...
I don't want to say we got crushed, but I heard it pretty loudly.
Yeah.
That I was mispronouncing it. Mm-hmm. It's Ravenna, Ohio. My mistake. I was not coached properly. So, check them out. You know, if you did not get... Todd, what are you doing?
I'm doing nothing sitting here. Somebody got a text somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this new equipment
wasn't me.
This new equipment picks up on everything. So bear with us on this first podcast.
And second, third, fourth, until we get this figured out.
Until we get this figured out, yeah.
So anyways, if you didn't get your Boss Shad in a stocking on Christmas, if you didn't wake up on January 1 and have a Boss Shad sitting on your table, I don't know anyone that gets a New Year's gift, but I had to make something up. Start dropping hints. I mean, you got Valentine's Day coming up. You know, you can get on Mark's Bait and Tackle Ammo, and they have a website. You can get them there. You can get them at bossshad.net. He also has an Instagram account. He has his Facebook. You can get in touch with him. He will be at the Muskie Max show coming up, I think it's first weekend in March. That's Paul Frasterio. He's a big supporter of the podcast. And I think you guys have heard enough about the fish that were caught this past season and even last year. It's been a year and a half since we've been doing this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So it probably won't be that hard in fishing reports of past to hear Boss Shad. So we want to give Boss Shad a big thanks. Check out Mark's Bait Tackle and Ammo, Ravenna, Ohio. And hopefully I said it correctly this time. If not, I got to do another apology.
Yeah.
Okay, so Todd, you want to hit up your plugs?
Yeah, we have Todd at mcfishingguides.com. That's the email. Muddy Creek Fishing Guides, give us a call. Been booking trips just about daily here recently, and June is filling up for me. We have Vance also going to be guiding again this year. And doing some stuff early season, booked a couple Pennsylvania trips already. We're going to do that in April and May, probably mid-April through mid to late May before I have to go up to Chautauqua Lake. Vance and I have been working on the website. I did a lot of work on it today, and I think it's ready to go. So we'll be loading up a new website here shortly. Not completely new, but just updated information. And anybody out there listening that's fished with us, check it out. Maybe your picture is going to be up. We added a bunch of photos, added a bunch of stuff to it. So give us a call, Western Pennsylvania, mid-April till pretty much end of May, and then Chautauqua Lake starting Memorial Day weekend, Saturday. Already have that Saturday booked. And then or we'll go through November, whatever the weather holds, or whatever you guys can take. Vance and I will keep fishing. It's just a matter of what the guys can take.
Indeed.
You guys would pull your boat through 3 feet of snow to go fishing.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
What happens if I wanted to go fishing in November and there's 18 inches of snow falling?
We'd go.
Then we'll just take your boat.
Yeah, we'll take your boat.
Nice.
Yeah. But we'll see how it goes. You know, we did get a couple real nice fish in November last year. So I wouldn't say it's my favorite time to fish the lake, but the big ones can sometimes show up. So.
Yeah.
Perfect. Now, Todd, hit up the shows and a little, I think it was a phone call you were telling me you had today.
Yeah, first of all, we dropped the ball because the Chicago show started today. And I got a text message from someone who's like, dude, where's Fat AZ booth? And I said, we're not there. We went one time. I think it was in 14. 14, yeah. We went one time, and unbelievably, I actually met a guy out there and who's become a great client of mine out here. He lives out towards Syracuse, and he's like, where are you guys, man? I'm looking for it. I wanted to pick up a couple Raptors. And I said, I believe that GT Rod and Reel has them at the Chicago show. About 2 hours later, I got a message. He's got them. Thanks, man. So looks like somebody picked up some Raptors out there. We are not there, obviously. Who knows what the future will hold. Long trip for us to get out there to that Chicago show, and it's, you know, quite a ways from our the main part of our business. But GT Rod and Reel does have some stuff on hand. He orders every year from us, and he's got a nice little variety of I think he just gets Raptors.
He used to just get standard stock colors until a year and a half ago, maybe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we did some custom painting for
exclusive colors.
Exclusive painting for him. Yes. So he's got some neat stuff out there that, you know, I helped assemble them, and I don't even have any of them. But, so he's got some exclusive colors. He is at the show. Look up GT Rod and Reel in Chicago right now. This will be loaded up tonight, and we're doing this on a Friday night, so you still have Saturday and Sunday to go pick this stuff up. First show we will be attending is Ohio Muskie Show, run by Greg Thomas, Tony Grant. January 20, 21, and 22, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We will be there. We're going to have a whole bunch of rod holders. We're going to have a bunch of track system. We're going to have very limited amounts of Raptors, swimmers. All the baits are going to be limited. We will have some Boss Shads there. Boss Shad's not going to be having a booth at the show, so we're going to have some Boss Shads if anyone's interested.
We will have more Boss Shads than AZ baits.
What more? Yeah,
we
yeah,
will.
Yeah, the AZ baits are going to be on the light side this year, especially compared to the last couple shows. So, stop out, see us out there in Ohio. I mean, we're making the trek. We're going to be doing the podcast here shortly. Going to be loaded up here in the next week, talking about the Mike Money Bait Fish Fund that also happens out there. It's a bait fish fund from Ohio. Always a great time. You guys have been, well, I don't know if Vance ever made the trek, but I mean, they put on a great little show, and we'll be talking about that here in the upcoming future, near future.
Like tomorrow,
we're going to be doing this. So, yeah. And we'll get it loaded up. That's going to be on Saturday night. They do a great raffle, tons of nice stuff. The next thing will be stuff. What's that?
Incredibly nice stuff. The stuff that's given away.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to buy tickets, but it's still a raffle. So.
Yeah.
I don't need to explain how a raffle works.
Yep. Next thing we'll be at is January 29th, Muskie Road Rules with Greg and Tony again. They're going to be doing a show in Butler, Pennsylvania. Vance is going to be doing a seminar there along with some other people. I don't know who else is on the schedule, but if you're looking at getting out of the house there on the 29th, a Sunday morning, great time. You know, it's always a great time. We've talked about that before. Just they'll be giving away a lot of baits, and it's a fun day. There's no other way to put it. And lastly, we have the Muskie Max, which is going to be March 4th and 5th. We'll be there. We will have hopefully many more baits at that show. But along with our rod holders, rail mounts, track mounts, boat mounts, Project X will be on display. Project X will probably be available. So check us out at the Muskie Max. It's always a fun one for us. Get a lot of guys rebooking their trips for the year, and great time. You can come over, talk to us, and get booked up, get the days picked you need.
Yeah, I want to hit up real quick. You were talking about all the product that we're going to be bringing to Muskie Max. Mm-hmm. I noticed just, what is it, the past week or so leading up to the Chicago show, which started today, like we mentioned, all these new product videos and whatever. Thanks to a podcast listener showing me something that he did, sparked an idea on how I can expand the rod holder line. And that listener's going to know who I'm talking about. I'm not even going to attempt to butcher his name. So I apologize on that front, but he gave me a really good idea. It's going to be stemmed off a picture he sent me. It's not the same. I'm not copying him. Reference last podcast. And anyway, so we're going to have a new rod holder out. It's going to be based off the S10 Salty, the one that clamps on. And I think it's going to really open up some doors to people who might not be able to fit track on their boat. It's still going to utilize the clamp, the two clamp system, and it should be really slick. Hi, kitty kitty.
This is wild.
We're hearing everything.
Stop hitting the
I should have the dunk button.
The cat button.
Yeah, that's my soundboard.
Yeah, we also, in this new update, we have a new
soundboard. You heard that cat?
Yeah. Oh,
we heard it like he was sitting right next to us.
Oh, jeez.
Todd, you just got to finish off your basement.
I'm sitting in her seat, that's why.
Well, just throw her outside.
Oh, my. It's only 3 degrees.
We're only 13 minutes in this, and we can't even keep a straight face.
I know. This is so, it's different. It's like the first podcast all over again, because
we're just not used to it.
We're just not used to this at all. Are the Rangers not in here?
Well, hold on. I want to address that. So now we're like three side notes off already.
Mm-hmm.
I have a muskie head. I think I've talked about it. How old? Date that muskie head up there.
1970.
Okay, 1970. Then we're going to put that era on there. It's like you would mount a deer. Someone chopped its head off and somehow fastened it onto like a keystone plaque for mm-hmm. a buck. And I have a raptor in its mouth. I should just take a photo and use it as a cover art.
You should.
But anyways, I am labeling that he has a name now.
What is it?
His name is Ranger.
His name is Ranger.
So Vance is in front of Ranger.
I like it. I like it.
That's Ranger the musky head.
Good.
So now we can just keep the saying going. And I guess it also depends on your point of view. If you're east of my building, looking west, you could then technically say Vance is in front of my Ranger.
Technically. Yeah, but this is wild. You know, with all this new equipment and stuff, I mean, we're going to get it perfect eventually. We always have been shooting from the hip around here with this podcast, and it's been fun. But I'm sitting here, and I can hear everything I do. I have to sit. I feel like I'm deer hunting. You know, you can hear every crack.
I think I just heard Todd take a gulp of water.
Yeah, it's wild. We'll get it going.
Okay.
New year, new podcast. What's that? New year, new me. New year, same me. Stuff like that.
How about new year, same old stuff, just a different day?
I like it.
Okay, so I even forgot where I was going. Before Ranger.
Before Ranger. Yeah, we've gone off topic.
Oh, okay. So anyways, the clamp on tippable down east.
Yes.
I haven't made one yet, but they're going to be made next week. They will. I'm going to say I can promise as much as I can that they are going to be here for the Ohio show. And we'll probably, when I get the first several done, I'll do like a YouTube video or something like that, or a Facebook video. Post that up there. Show everyone what we got new. It's last minute, but I've been spending too much time trying to build this studio.
Yeah, it's not like you don't have anything to do. It's time to be innovative, apparently. You have all this stuff to do around you. And you've already come up with a new idea.
Well, I have to give credit.
Mm-hmm.
I have to give credit there. It's, again, it's not a direct copy, but it really sparked a good idea in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think people are really going to like them.
Yeah, so that's what to look forward to at the Fatty Z booth, at all the dates that Todd hit. So from there, Todd, is there anything else you need to hit on?
No, I think we're good with the plugs.
You might be able to find Raptors at the Team Rhino booth too. He might have a couple there.
You may.
He may. He did get in touch with me saying he needed a reorder, and I said, you're crazy to think that you're going to get any. I don't have any myself.
Can I touch on that? Can I say this right now?
Okay. Off the Vance is Right is the bait closet.
Yeah. Me and Andy hung this really, really nice display of inventory the other day, and it's great. I mean,
except you didn't break a sweat putting all 8 Raptors on the hooks.
Yeah, so I'm looking at, is that 14 Raptors?
I can't see all that you're saying.
I think that's 14 Raptors. Total.
So the display looks great.
Mm-hmm.
The inventory part of it,
yeah,
not so great.
Todd, you remember last year? What did it's essentially the same display rack, except I used a whole lot nicer wood. I stained it, and it looks really nice. Do you remember what it looked like last year at this time?
Yeah, there was just pegs lined up, filled to the.
There were probably baits laying on the floor because I didn't have enough places. To have that.
And we were talking about
how many
should we take all these to the show? We really need to.
And right now I'm like, we're taking everything we got.
It's going to be a quick unload, that's for sure.
I'm not getting any younger in my back.
Yeah.
It's going to really help me out.
That's what it's all
about. Except for these pesky rod holders that weigh a ton.
Yeah, that's true. And the new one.
The new one? Yeah, so...
But we'll have baits at the show.
We'll have some.
Yeah.
Muskie Max, I should be up and painting by then and get some of the stuff that I need to get done instead of just slacking.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, slacking.
We could always take orders, too.
We can do that.
Sigh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I think a lot of people are like me and they don't want to wait for stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm that way, too.
But I probably have like 4 orders written down right now that need filled.
I don't want to hear about it.
they just want them by fishing season in like April, March, April.
I know that's got to be like a knife to the side looking at this, and it is just not full at all.
I'll paint the picture. What I have here, and it should be another thing I'll put up. Maybe I'll put it up on Facebook. What I have is I have 4 rows, and each row represents essentially a bait style. The top row is stingers. The next row are softtail 8-inch raptors. The next row are raptors. The bottom row is a conglomeration of all the swim baits, the 10-inch raptors, and the 6-inch raptors. Since we don't stock all those colors in those 3 styles of baits, actually you could expand it out even further to 6 styles of baits on that bottom row. It doesn't warrant having all of those. On separate racks, and I also don't have the wall space for that. Mm-hmm. So anyways, so envision 4 rows. In those rows, I have, and I want to make sure I got this right, 4, I got 8 essentially, I'm going to call them columns that travel back to the wall. And they are, each column is a color. So they're organized by baits in rows, as if you were writing on a sheet of paper. Then the columns that go straight back are colors. And all the colors are lined up with each other, respectively, in vertical columns. And so then I can just quickly see when I go to paint, let's just say black. I can see that I have plenty of black stingers, but I've got no black soft tails looking straight down, no black wrappers looking straight down. I got two black 10-inch soft tail Raptors. So then I can quickly gauge on what needs to be painted. It's just an organization method that I have. And there's giant holes right in the middle of this.
Like, indeed.
Completely barren.
Oh my God.
And each like column that's going straight back for the baits has 12 hooks on it. I like to try to keep somewhere around 10 of each color at any given time.
Do you have 10 of any color right now?
I got 10.
Orange Julius.
Orange Julius Stinger.
Yes.
Black Stinger. I can't see over there, but those are the only two.
Couple, yeah.
A couple. And those are easy colors to paint. That's why they're full.
That's why they're full. Yeah.
So, anyways, that's what's going on with the new podcast room / inventory room. And, okay, anyways.
They'll get full.
They will eventually. So, okay, we just wasted 22 minutes.
We really did.
Okay, Vance is going to introduce something new that we're starting. So,
yeah, we're going to do something new here with the podcast, and it's kind of going to get our listeners involved in it and everything. You can follow along on our social media pages, mainly Facebook. But what we're going to do here is we're going to title it The Podcast Power Rankings. And every show, we are going to list things that are just awesome things in life, positive things in life that happen. We're going to try to keep them fishing related. But
we're going to fail this first one.
We're going to be all right. But it's a power ranking, just like you see in the NFL or in sports or anything like that. You know, who's in first place this week? What's the best team? All that stuff.
There you go, being competitive.
No. So,
how are the Vikings doing, by the way, Andy?
I'm going to tell you what, they had a phenomenal season. I've been telling everyone from the get-go, if I can get to 8 wins, I being the Vikings, it's a great season. Oh, and guess what? They pulled it out. It took all 16 games, but they got to 8.
Oh, my.
And yeah, I don't take that stuff too seriously because,
yeah.
I mean, you guys heard it. When they were 5-0, Todd, what did I say?
You did say it.
He said they'll lose after
the Steelers were like 2-3 then.
Mm-hmm.
It was just crazy. Yeah. I was like, no way. That's not going to happen.
Andy's used to this. Brett Favre's not coming back.
It's so much cooler to complete passes when you force them through triple coverage.
Yeah. So the power rankings, the podcast power rankings, we are going to post this on our social media page every week along with the podcast link. We have three right here for myself, Todd, and Andy. We have three things that we're going to rank here. Eventually, what I want the listeners to do is you can message in via our Facebook or our Instagram page, a power ranking, and you'll get a better idea of what we're talking about here after you listen to the segment. And we will incorporate it into the list for the week. And since we have three, we're going to start, we're going to go 3-2-1, and
Vance, probably weekly, we're going to have one of us choose the order and
yeah. And it's just up to us what we think is the, you know, the strongest one to the least strongest one. So we'll start off first, coming in at 3 on the podcast power ranking for the week. Andy, what's your power ranking?
I got bumped to 3rd.
You were 3rd. This is what we discussed.
I thought I was 2.
You were 3. Go.
Okay. Here's my power ranking. You cast out. You're bringing your bait in. and you don't necessarily have to see the fish, but you can see your bait, and the fish just comes up, whales it, T-bones it. Bait completely disappears, and you set the hook with all your might, and it's nothing but resistance. It's a strong hook set on a fish that you witnessed hit the bait. So you saw it coming, and it's just like any golfer out there hitting the sweet spot mm-hmm. on a drive.
So it's a solid, number three of the week is a solid hook set on a fish.
Yeah, but you have to see the fish.
You have to see the fish.
You have to actually witness it happen, and then you're not going off of the feel, you're going off of the seeing it. You got a double sensory going on.
Mm-hmm. You know it's coming. You're going to set the best hook set of your life.
Absolutely.
Boom.
You want to rock the boat.
Yeah, you're on the money with
this. You're trying to break the line, reel or rod.
Yeah.
One of the three.
You're catching this
fish. I like that.
Or
I like when someone sets the hook and I feel a little shake in the boat, and then I'm like, oh, yeah.
Boom. That was a good set.
That's a good hook set.
I mean, because more often than not, that just has not happened. For me, it's out of, you know, they'll be out of nowhere, especially with the bait that I, you know, especially if I'm casting a jerk bait. That fish, that they'll hit me by surprise. And sometimes when I set that hook, I'm like, oh, crap. And then I get it.
Had you known, you would have
been. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Probably not looking at the other boaters.
But you remember those hook sets when that opportunity presents itself. And it's like, oh, yeah, I got you.
Yeah. Vance, you do second guess yourself. With the fishing we've done, there's been lots of times we're fishing, you're like, I didn't get a good hook set.
I do that more often than not. Yeah. I'm just like, dang it.
I never do that. I'm like, yep, I got pressure on him. That's just the way I feel.
Confidence.
I think I got him.
Yeah, the visual that I can best describe what's going on, because I'm sure everyone can relate to it, would be, we've been by the McGizzy rod guy.
Mm-hmm.
So much, yeah. If you watch that, the Goliath grouper.
And this is he makes rods and he goes to the muskie shows.
Yeah, he was on our podcast last year mm-hmm. at the Ohio show. But he has this one where they're like doing whatever by the bridge abutments
mm-hmm.
and they're like jigging, and all of a sudden they're like, yeah, and the guy reels down and he knows the fish is there, and you just heave back, the rod bends and doesn't move.
Yeah.
Anyways,
that's a hook set.
That's what I like.
That's a great
one. And that's the suckiest one this week.
That's not the suckiest one. It's a great thing. It made the power rankings. So a solid hook set is number three.
Nice.
Number two on the podcast power rankings, I'm going to go with boat storage in the boat. That is mine for the week. Coming in at number two, boat storage. I love the fact that when I get onto somebody's boat or my own, there is a clear walkway. The rods are secured in a specific area. They're not all over the place. Baits are hidden. They're not all over the place. Stuff like that I'm going to step on.
I prefer my baits to be halfway loose on the boat, because when I walk around, when they collect on my thighs, I know where they're at later.
You can grab them real quick. It's like all.
Andy, do you fish in bare feet?
I do not.
No.
I can't stay. I don't either. I'll see people fishing bare feet, and there's lures all over the boat. Like, it's just insane.
There are some pictures of boats that people musky fish in. And I swear you need to have like a snow shovel and clear a path to get anywhere.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of that scene in Saw 2 when that woman jumped in that pit of hypodermic needles.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice thought for the positive power rankings for the week.
I'm just saying that I don't like that. Yeah. So it promotes what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people love that. I mean, some people love that. Bare feet, lures laying everywhere.
Yeah.
Boat looks like there's just lures and stuff hanging, you know. Yeah. I'm the other way. My stuff.
Yeah.
Like if I take a lure off and set it on the deck, on the back deck when I'm changing one for trolling because it's rough or something, can't get up to my dash, I will sit there and stare at it like it's going to jump out and grab me.
Yeah.
Because I want it off there. I don't want to step on it. I don't want someone else stepping on it. I don't want to kneel on it. I don't want to get the net caught in it when I go to net the fish that we're going to catch. So I'll stare at it like the whole time that I'm letting out the other lure, grab it, throw it, at least get it thrown on my dash. But not everybody fishes that way.
Yeah, and to think of it, that's the same thing I do. When I have one sitting there drying off, I'm just like, man, if one of these clients steps on one of these, or if they go and try and fight a fish and slip or something, it goes in their knee. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I go through all those hypotheticals. I have to get that clear. I guess that's like a OCD thing, kind of.
But you had no problem pulling into the sailboat or captain's hand.
No, I mean, well, that was his own fault. You know, that was his own fault. But yeah, a clear deck when you're fishing, in a clean boat when you're fishing, can, you know, if I'm fishing around a bunch of lures and I want to have a good hook set, sometimes...
Oh, you incorporating mine?
I am. You know, sometimes when I'm fishing and there's crap all around me, I feel like I can't get into the, you know, my full potential because mm-hmm. there's stuff all over the place. You know, I love that big open space. It's kind of why the reason I fish out of the tiller and why I chose the boat I did, the haul, was because I could envision a clean boat. When people are going to step on it, all they're going to see is seats. And when the gear is getting used, it's going to be simple. It's going to be rod, lure, and that's it. And I'm going to be able to get to things quickly, change out quickly, all that stuff. Clean boat and boat storage. That's why I love my haul, because I can put everything away. And there's tons of fishing gear on there, you know.
Yep.
Stuff everything. The life jackets are away, all the equipment, all the safety equipment's away. Everything is stored and stowed. So it's a nice, clean fishing day. Safety. Love boat storage.
Is it efficient?
Can't ever have enough. It's efficient. I love it.
And what was that little saying that you did last time?
I forget what it was.
You can't spell efficient without fish.
Yes. I love it. Corny as it is. So that's number two for the podcast power ranking is boat storage. You can't have enough of it. Get after it. Love boat storage. And coming in at number one, the best power ranking this week for the podcast is Todd. Take it away.
Yeah, this is going to be a one-time deal here. I'm going to keep it fishing oriented. This time it's going to be
we can't even get through number one.
No.
hopefully a little bit of outdoors oriented. Christmas time, we got a new little puppy here at the house, new little chocolate lab. Haven't had one for like 10 years since my last one passed away. And it's that puppy breath, that little puppy. Puppies. What else can you say?
Brand new puppies.
A brand new puppy.
On Christmas.
A brand new puppy on Christmas probably will never happen again for me. Hopefully this is my last puppy. But
now, did you have it wrapped up in a box and you had to unwrap it?
Well, we did a little fake thing with my daughter because she already had picked it. So we did put it in a box and she unwrapped it and tend to be very surprised. But all the stuff that comes with puppies, peeing on the floor and taking it out, and it's been my life the last couple days, and that's why we brought that up as the that's why I brought it up as my power ranking, the things that are happening, things I'm thinking about, and that's all I've been doing here the last few couple weeks.
I love it. But, I love new puppies. You said it yourself. It's like kind of raising a kid.
Yeah, except you can put this
I'll be
in a
honest,
cage.
Right, that puppy stage right now, if you're really trying to keep an eye on them, starting to get the, I mean, she's just little, she's 7 weeks old, trying to get that house breaking in, I would say it's as hard, if not harder,
ooh,
than
see?
A child.
I'm telling
you. At the beginning.
It is tough at the beginning. I remember sleeping on the couch, waking up every couple hours, taking my puppies out, making sure they're peed.
But you do
the kids go in the diaper, you wake up, you change it. If you're trying to really get these dogs going,
that's the motion.
It's been insane.
That's the motions right there. People roll their eyes at me. That's the motions of the kid. I'm on the couch. I'm waking up every couple hours. They're whimpering. That is the motion. That is a good practice point for kids. Andy's rolling his eyes. He can't believe it. Right?
Most newlywed couples eventually, or you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, will get a puppy, and it's more often than not a lead into I want a baby. And I can tell you this, after having two babies and a puppy, you guess on paper you could cross-reference this crap, but with a puppy, you can throw it in a cage and close it and not go to jail.
If you're an animal. If you're a terrible person, you would do that.
How much do you pay to have the dogs babysat all day?
That's a personal question, but I do pay. I do pay to have them watched and walked weekly. Weekly. It's the motions. It's a blueprint.
I can't even do this because I know that you guys do go to the vet. I was going to say, how much is the pediatrician?
Guess what? Your dogs, the insurance is terrible for them. You got to pay out of pocket, buddy. You know.
They do offer pet insurance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I haven't.
I'm so looking forward to the day you have a kid. And about 4 months into it, I'm going to be like, hey, you remember that podcast, the first one we did in 2017? Let's re-listen to it real quick, because I'm just going to jot a little note down here that from like minute 30 to 37, let's re-listen to this and you tell me how close it is.
Oh my God. Look, all I'm saying is it's the blueprint.
Andy, you did bring a point there. That is one thing. You know, the puppy's doing great. I've been staying home, doing stuff on the computer, a little bit of stuff around the house. Daughter's back at school, but you know, if I do want to go down to the gym and work out, or I need to run to the store, I do have a nice little kennel cage. I can put the puppy in there and go.
Mm-hmm.
That is one thing I was that if there is a difference, you can't do that. And when you come home, it's just sitting there sleeping.
And generally, when you come home, the pet is very excited to see you. And should you have done that with a child, first off, you shouldn't be a parent. Second off,
yeah,
the kid probably isn't going to be in as good a mood as a puppy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, it's the blueprint. It's baby steps. And touching back on people that get a dog and then they start thinking about kids, we're thinking about a fourth dog, so what's up?
Oh, jeez.
You just wait. When you do have kids, I hope you have triplets.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, what are we going to do with these seven dependents? And...
What kind of dog would you get, Vance, if you really were thinking about another one? Same kind?
Like a greyhound, please, something.
Absolutely. Another pug.
Another pug.
Oh. Best.
Burmese mountain dog.
Pug.
So my little dog, I mean, I will say this, that the little dog that I have, it's just a little, I can still carry it around. Probably in about 3 or 4 months from now, it's going to outweigh.
Your daughter.
All the dogs in Vance's house.
And mine.
Plus, yeah.
Yeah.
Plus my daughter, yeah.
Having said that, once it gets bigger, taking it back to fishing, that's a great boat dog.
Yes, it's going to be a great boat dog. Yeah. She loves her favorite little toys, a little duck. I'm going to get back into doing some duck hunting. I haven't done it in years, and I used to do it all the time. Some with my last lab and stuff, and just haven't done it, but I'm going to do it for her. So
I love it. So that's the power rankings for this week. Coming in at 3, a solid hook set. 2, boat storage. 1, puppies. I love it.
Puppy.
We'll post that up on social media. You guys send in your submissions. We'll incorporate them into the list for the week. It's a way to get the listeners involved. We'd love to hear from you guys. This segment will grow and get crazier once we get more comfortable with this equipment and everything. But we'll post that up.
Blame it on the equipment.
I'm blaming on the equipment. I'm out of my Ranger. So
you're in front of it, though.
I am. Send in your submissions. Send us a message on the Fat AZ Facebook page, and we'll get it going. That'll bring us into our topic of discussion for today.
40 minutes into this beast.
Yeah. Well.
Okay.
It is what it is.
Today's topic. You want to just do a year review?
We're gonna touch base on some of the silly things that happened.
Okay.
All year. You know, just things that, yeah, that happened in, this, in 2016
time,
fishing
this is the
season.
Time for us to do this. Year.
Yeah.
First one of the year, man.
Okay, I'm gonna start off. I'm gonna omit names, but I don't think this person listens. That's the only hint that I'm gonna give who this was. I'm gonna set the scene. I did not mention this on the podcast. Both you, Vance and Todd, know this story, but I'm not gonna lead into it. You guys are just gonna have to figure it out as I tell it.
Okay.
Okay. 2016 Ohio Muskie Show. It was the slow part of Friday. The main, I don't even know if the main crowd had been pushed through yet. I don't know. Anyway, so we're sitting there. Everything's set up. I think it was before anyone got in. And I turn on Project X. It's just sitting there running with the rod. Mm-hmm. And I have a line was spooled on this rod and reel. It was a two-piece rod, so I only had the back half with the reel on it because it didn't want to be smacking people. And this person looks over, sees it, and walks over, and I'm standing right near it. I'm just watching what they're doing. I'm like, okay, they're tinkering with this. So I see him kind of take the line off the reel. It was just spooled up continuous. The line was cut, and I just reeled, and there's just a loose end on it. Starts picking at that loose end. I'm like, well, what's going on here? So they get, I don't know, enough to get a good grip with their hand. And
you let him go.
I'm watching. I'm like, what is going on here? Because this is just not John Doe. This is somebody. And I'm like, okay, I'm just watching. They're getting that hand wrapped up around. And out of nowhere, it's like they were trying to pull start a lawnmower. And the drag was halfway tight. Project X was not even fastened down to the table. The hand gets, 8 inches from the reel, and here comes Project X and the rod flying off the table.
Unbelievable.
Hits the ground. The person turns white and looks at me and says, it wasn't bolted down. I said, I didn't expect you to do that. So we pick it up. It's still running.
Mm-hmm.
Set it back down.
Oh, it's a durable piece.
And needless to say, this person was a little bit embarrassed.
Yeah.
And luckily, the next morning, this person walks in before the show starts and said, well, is there anything else I can break of yours? But just the look of sheer terror on this person's face.
Yeah.
When this expensive piece of equipment goes flying. What they were trying to do was, with Project X running, the people in surrounding booths saw that it was running, and then all of a sudden to hear the drag screaming,
yeah,
was just like a fitting thing.
Yeah.
But what it ended
you had
up
the
was
clicker
just,
on.
Well, yeah, but the drag was tight, so it wouldn't have mattered. So in the end, instead of hearing the drag squealing, it was a clunk smash. It wasn't bolted down.
Yeah. Is that hilarious?
And that was my personal unit, too.
Was it? I was going to say, thank God it wasn't a one that was ready to go.
No, that was my personal one. So that kicked off January.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in February?
Oh, I think we went to Kentucky, didn't we?
Yeah. Was it in February?
It might have been in late February.
That we went steelhead fishing?
We went steelhead fishing with the Muskie King.
And the beavers, the dead beavers.
Muskie King.
And we got skunked fishing.
But you were playing in the water, so was I.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah. You guys were wading around like little kids.
That might have been late January, early February. No, it was in January because they had shot that 160 with a crossbow. Okay, so that was a January deal.
I was trying to rig up a float.
Yeah. Andy's looking at me. I waded across this little stream, and I'm fishing. He's standing there looking at me, and he's sort of doing what I was doing. We look back, and Vance is walking back and forth on the...
At one point, on Vance was sitting on his butt making a sandcastle.
Yes, I was. I tried to rig up that float, and I was like, oh my gosh, I finally got it. I understand what they're trying to do right now. And I looked down at my reel, and it was just covered in sand and rocks. I was like, oh my God. So I just quit there.
Yeah, and I was just faking it till I make it. I was spending more time watching what Todd was doing than what I was actually... I'm like, I can't cast nearly as far as Todd. So I'm just going to cast it in this class 5 rapid and open the bail and start feeding line.
And it'll get out.
And it'll eventually hit a spot to where it'll stop. And maybe there's a fish there.
I tried to put
the background throwing rocks on the ice.
Excuse me. Upstream from where we're fishing.
That was so bad. It was very embarrassing.
Then we go, and then the Muskie King shows up waiting for us at the park truck.
Oh my God.
Remember that? We were parked and we're like, we'll just walk this power line to this creek mouth that I couldn't find.
Yeah.
And we come back and he's still sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just like, yeah, we're lost. What do you want us to do?
He was on us.
They were tracking a buck they had hit.
Oh God, and I ran into him in public. And yeah. Nuts.
I caught five in a weekend or something, three in a weekend that he...
I think
it was five.
I think it was five, yeah. I mean, he was screaming that and getting pulled into the store by his family. They were embarrassed. It was nuts. It was like a fight press conference.
I can't believe you didn't bow in front of royalty.
Mm-hmm. Five in a weekend on live bait.
I know exactly where he caught him.
Yeah. Though. Hilarious.
Okay.
So I'm not good at steelhead fishing.
Hey.
We'll do this. We'll get it done.
I just am not. I am terrible at stuff like that.
I just couldn't cast. That stuff didn't weigh anything. And I'm like, first off, it was a spinning rod. So where's the joke?
Yeah, you had it upside down.
There we go.
There it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
You get so complacent with, you know, the musky tackle and stuff like that, and big heavy gear, and then you downsize. I do that all the time when I first start fishing up at Chautauqua, when I go out for walleyes and stuff, which I'm fine at. I'm good at that. But when I go to like tie the knots and stuff, I'm like looking like I have like 90-year-old eyes. I'm trying to tie stuff. I can't like touch the line correctly. We had a great in March. We had a great show at the Muskie Max. That was so much fun. Was that March?
That would have been March.
Yeah, it was March.
And we had a fun show season. We did the Kentucky show. That was great. We had some listeners come up and say, hey, we enjoy the podcast. That was when we knew that, you know,
it was gaining traction.
Yeah, it was gaining traction. It was.
Then anything funny happened there? Not too much, all the way till the...
We were so busy at the Muskie Max that we didn't even get to talk to each other, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I was all alone. I thought you guys left me.
Yeah.
Muskie Max, we had... We didn't break for a solid, like, 8-9 hours. It was crazy. We had a fun night there.
That's right. We went with Brandon Lilly.
Yeah, we met Brandon Lilly, and we went and watched a UFC fight.
We watched Rouse... What was it? Was Ronda fighting then?
I thought McGregor was fighting.
McGregor was fighting.
McGregor was fighting Diaz for the first time, and he got upset.
Right, but I think, wasn't it Ronda fought in front of him?
I don't, you know.
No, it might have been the girl that beat Ronda the first time.
Yeah, she got choked out, and then Connor got choked out by Diaz.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was great, and that broke my heart. I really wanted him to win that fight, but that was great. Meeting Brandon, trading buck stories.
buck photos. We're standing there essentially in the waiting area to get into Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
And
in a rural, or in like a city, a city vibe place, you know, Cranberry, PA. Everybody's in there, and we have like, you know, like we're hillbilly showing buck photos and stuff like that.
We literally just went in there, watched the TV. I think we got like a drink or something, like a Sprite. And as soon as it was over, like the place emptied.
Oh yeah, it was over in seconds. It was a good time. Great show. April, we hit the tournaments up to Odd and I. Went down to Cave.
Yeah.
Just run that son of a gun.
Yeah, that was, you know, when my boat was giving me problems. As soon as we put it in the water there, that was crazy.
I have many podcasts on my phone. I probably subscribe to at least 8, if not more. I mean, I have actually have a podcast channel that probably has at least 8 different ones on it. It's a subscription-based. And I have that one saved. I will not delete it.
Yeah, that's it.
If I ever run out of content, I can play that one. Because...
yeah, I don't want to relive that stuff. And unfortunately, it's forever. Because that podcast exists.
But it was probably one of the funniest ones.
Oh, it was gold. It was gold. My motor. Oh.
The biting of the sweatshirt.
Oh my god. And then I had to go and
you're like, run it, and you go out and it shuts
off. Todd walks back up to the truck. I'm like, we're taking it off. We gotta go to a dealer and get it fixed. He walks back up, I find a sweatshirt, I bite it as hard as I can. A week later, I'm in the dentist chair getting a root canal because I like, sparked something that hurts.
That's been the best one when you were like, it shut down.
Yeah.
It shut off.
Little did I know it would do that a couple more times before the end of the year.
A couple more times too many.
Yes.
However, it just seems to be this... continually set up problem.
Yeah, I think we're good now, though.
You got, what, 7 batteries in that?
I love that.
You feel you're good now?
Yeah.
I kept saying you were good.
I finished the season just fine. I didn't...
You did.
You know, everything looked good on the graphs and the voltage meters and stuff like that, so...
How many batteries do you have? You have 6?
3... I think I have 5. Don't I have 5?
No, you have 3 for the trolling motor. Then you had 2. One was an AGM for the motor. Then you had a lead cell that was for the thing. Did they add a 6th?
You know, I think there's 5, and everything is hooked up to that one that's running the motor.
Okay, for whatever reason.
And there is a backup that I could switch to jump. And
is it in the boat?
It's in the boat, yeah.
Okay, so you have 6 batteries.
I think I might have 6 batteries.
Because you got 3 up front, and you had 2 on the side. Did they add a 6th? Because what I'm getting at, more or less, is you've got close to 500 pounds in batteries in that boat.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a lot of pounds.
Still goes fast, but you know what? It's worth it, because...
And you got a jack plate.
I have to...
get to the dock.
Yes. Very, very worth it. Very worth it.
Which, we're going to go back to power ranking number 2. Storage. Put all your electrons.
Yes. You need that.
You cannot see any of these batteries when you fish with Vance.
Mm-mm.
Nope. You can't see a battery. You can't see a rod.
Nope.
Nothing. It's nice.
I think you're a perfect candidate to get lithium batteries. They're expensive.
Yeah, five, 6 of those, it's...
They're only like $2,000 a piece.
Yeah.
However, you'll be
probably get 2 more miles an hour.
You'll probably save 300 pounds.
Yeah. I don't care. At this juncture, I'm fine with it. That tournament was fun in Cave. Yeah. You know, we... missed that one, you know, we got on the board and we missed that one fish.
If I remember correctly, the podcast was, you lost the fish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then Todd had to show you how it's done.
Yeah.
I showed him. I pulled one right across top of the water. So easy.
Ugh, man. That still bugs me. Missing that fish. Missing that fish that would put us in the top 10.
I'm gonna put a little bookmark here because eventually we're gonna get to a hunting story at the end. Mm-hmm. If we're gonna try to do chronological order all the way.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna bookmark here missing that fish because this is a really cool story of redemption at the very end. Anyways, so Vance just said he.
It still gets me fired up. I'm still thinking about it right now. I think, you know, I'm tough on myself. Just like Todd said, when I hook one of those fish, I'm like, ah, this shit hooks that. Sucked.
Gotta practice.
Gotta show me how it's done. Todd showed me how it was done.
Did you take any notes?
No. But looking forward to that. That tournament fishing is fun. When you get into that fun, unbelievable ride.
It's a lot of fun when you catch a fish immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, we got put into a situation. I've done a lot of tournaments, and that tournament was fun.
Yeah,
because we were on the board first thing, as soon as we got started, we got that fish, and now you have all these hours of trying to get another one or whatever we're gonna do. We were in the game from the beginning. That makes it fun.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
And then getting them rips in front of everybody on day two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big catfish.
Big catfish. Bell hooked on one. Yeah. It was a good one.
Yeah. Yep. It was fun.
Yeah. And we went right into
Chautauqua fishing.
No, we came home. I got some good fish in Pennsylvania.
You did?
You did, yeah.
Yeah. With a couple clients.
On a very tough lake that seems to be getting a little easier.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And on a bait that's really easy.
Oh, what is that?
That would have been a raptor.
Oh, my goodness.
Very easy. First time out, the kid and his dad caught about 6 pike. Couple muskies in a lake that's not real well known for putting out big numbers of fish, but they got it done.
Mm-hmm.
The raptor was the key there.
Yeah, that muskie inhaled that raptor too. I remember that picture
now. Totally thinking inhaled it.
It was gone.
I hope the fish is still living. I had to do some major surgery on that bugger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see it floating in July.
It's because the pleasure boaters chopped them up.
They probably. Snapping turtles ate it.
Mm-hmm. Chautauqua. Always fun.
Started with a big bang. We talked about it lots of times. Biggest fish of our season came. The first fish of our season. My lovely little daughter got the reel in. Then we went through the season.
Made muskie hunter.
Yep.
Then I took a first timer, and I had a good hook set.
Mm-hmm.
On that 45.
On a nice spot from me. I told you a good spot. Never give me credit there.
Vance, without you, I would have never caught the 2 fish I caught in Chautauqua this year. I can't thank you enough. I waited too long to express my true feelings.
I just want to try to pay you back for the deer and stuff. You know, so, you know, I'll give you
a couple. Here's a fish.
This is a nice spot to try. Yeah. Chautauqua was a fun season. Enjoyed it. First guide season. That was a blast.
4th of July. I might be jumping ahead a little bit. When I went fishing at Chautauqua, and I caught the second fish in almost the exact same spot as where I caught the first one. I had Nitro with me.
Nitro, yeah.
We get this studio set up. I'll get him in here, and you'll see how he can't sit still.
Yeah.
And I saw that woman with the boat trailer and that parked car and ripped the bumper off in the parking lot.
And you got out of there. Like you saw, I left the crime scene.
I had nothing to do with it, so it wasn't my hit and run. But she was just, she was older, and she just looked, I don't want to stereotype, but she looked like she spent a lot of time working outside with her hands, and her husband looked the same, and they both did not look pleasant, even though they had a giant boat, and the fact that she destroyed the front end of this car.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Dick, we're getting this on and we're getting out of here now.
Yeah.
And he goes, he's just like, why, what's up? He's just like, bop her. I'm like, you'll see.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
He saw it. It was funny. So.
That's always the best scene. That's a great part of the fishing season is around the docks and seeing people.
And your survey guys.
Yeah. Do you remember that one picture? You know, because it was like a meme or something. And somebody, you know, you have a couple slots to hit to put your boat in. There's a dock, the water, the dock, the water, the dock, okay. The water. And the one, the guy drove right up on one of the docks. And it was Walnut Creek in Erie.
Oh, my gosh, I remember that, yeah. The way the docks are with that is they're not like docks floating. It's actually poured cement for the first, the whole ramp, all the way to the water's edge. Then it's docks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like, oh, the dock just moved. No, this was not going to move.
This guy drove right back up into the dock and...
Essentially, like, the bad part of the ramp.
Yeah.
And severely had a bad day.
Hilarious stuff. I could touch on this. I still can't back up correctly.
Okay.
Is that weird? I back up and I turn my wheel the other way, the wrong way. Like is when I don't have my, I still think of boats back there.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking like you can't back
up. Oh, okay.
Trailer. Why are you talking about this on the podcast?
Is that, when I go to back up, I'm like, wait, turn the other way. There's no trailer behind you right now. It's crazy.
I would say that that there's an issue there.
There's an issue there.
Okay, so grinding through summer, there's been a couple boat issues. We hit on all that.
Boat issues, I went to Canada.
Bunch of fish, epic 3 days?
2 days of fishing, yeah. A lot of fun. That was so much fun. That was a great time.
Andy's Wileys took a beating.
Andy's Wileys took a beating, finally. Crushed those. That was fun. My girlfriend got the reel in a 50. That was great. Loved it up there.
Did you take the fish home?
Mm-mm.
You left it in Canada?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. CPR. Yahoo. Got it back in there. I got a replica done, though. That should be here in a couple months. From Fatani. I splurged.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yep. And so she should be happy about that. I will, too.
Who's going to be more happy?
I don't know. It's like one of those things you buy something and then it just ends up yours, you know? Like, honey, I bought us this giant 70-inch TV. It's your birthday present. She's like, oh.
Okay.
Do you know what would be better?
Thank you.
Instead of buying that 70-inch TV, you buy 70 Bosch Shads.
Hmm.
And say, here, happy Valentine's
Day. Happy Valentine's Day. I'll let you use these when we go fishing.
Yeah. But in the meantime, I might as well use them.
Yeah. Let me know. When you're coming out, we'll use them. They're yours.
But, okay, so you get back from Canada. I have nothing really to mention except that I was busy building.
Getting
a house built.
Yeah, that's always a stressor. We did another tournament.
Todd and I out in Wisconsin. It was fun. We caught a fish. It was 2 inches short to register. And that was like first thing in the tournament day. Right off the bat, we'd been piking out and pre-fishing. And the boat ran well, which was nice. But that was a fun experience.
Oh, I'm going to back up to June. I go to one of my bank aching spots. What was that? I forget how many casts I was in. Within the first 5 casts, I had...
2. I think the second one.
Second cast. First one, the fish swung at it. Second one, I got it.
Yeah.
It was so funny to hear Vance's reaction.
I was just like, nah.
Yeah, he was in denial. Then he was like on the verge of being excited, but he knows that he's 30 miles away or something.
I was like, how big is it?
It was actually my biggest PA fish last year, too.
That was a nice fish.
It was a good fish. I was happy. It swam away. It broke the curse. That spotted cursed me.
Vance actually called me to tell me. He's like, you know, Andy caught a fish today. And I was like, really? I didn't know he was going fishing. I thought he was going to the chiropractor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I think you were going to the chiropractor and you stopped the fish. Really.
I stopped at my little honey hole there that wasn't giving me any love for a while. And that's such a terrible spot to land a fish. Yeah, there's a mud bank going right down into it. Yeah. It's steep.
It is.
Yeah, Todd's been there.
I've been there. The way you're attacking it from that quick
access.
It's from the backside of the big steel mill or whatever that is.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a hard place to land a fish.
Yeah. Awesome stuff. Bank yanking.
Bank yanking. Then I caught another fish. No, I'm jumping ahead several months with Vance on the phone. Remember?
Was it a pike?
It was a pike on a stinger.
Yeah. I remember.
It was at the end of a bomb cast.
Was it?
It was. I cast it. It wasn't very far into the bringing it in. And I'm like, got one. And same reaction from Vance. Are you sure? What is it? And I'm like, it feels like a pike. And it was just a cookie cutter pike.
Andy's pike.
Oh, my gosh, that pike. Yeah, we can't.
And Vance and I were sitting at camp just like, I don't know what happened. He has a story.
It worked.
It worked.
Yeah, it was a huge letdown.
It worked.
It was a giant letdown.
How would you like to have been on the receiving end of it?
We were devastated. We were probably more devastated than you were when you found it was a pike.
You didn't see the tears I cried.
We relived it with you.
I knew where you went. I knew everything. I was like, dude, this could be great.
Yeah.
This could be really good.
It was a great story.
You called Wiley. You were like, I called Dale. I was like, what?
I was talking to Dale about it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's not telling us.
I was like, it has to be this giant fish.
It was a giant letdown. It was a good pike, but I'm going to tell you, everything led up. I could have just lied and be like, yeah, guys, I boated a 53, and I didn't take any photos.
Yeah,
I could have said that.
You could have. Oh, that pike story, terrible. That's fun hearing that drag going.
That was in like early July.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get the fish much this year. It sucked.
Yeah, that's why we remember every single fish.
Yeah, I could just name all 8 fish I caught last year.
Yeah.
Okay, so then that gets us.
We went to Wisconsin. We did that. And we kind of just came back and finished up the season.
Yeah.
Todd caught a couple big fish.
Towards the end, yeah. That kid that just couldn't catch one, the big running joke.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That was probably the highlight. I mean, any other year that would have been half the season. Except for my daughter's fish this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a highlight. He's getting a replica made by Mike Stimmel.
Nice.
He's got that on order. He's getting his replica of his nice big 49-incher.
Mm-hmm. Stimmel's doing that. That's great. He's getting that.
Yeah.
I got a yep. Stimmel mount right there.
He's going to have to ship that to Florida or pick it up in Bemis.
Yeah, Bemis at his dad's house.
Yeah. That wrapped up.
Can't wait.
Yeah. I'm looking. I like seeing his mounts. He does a great job. His fish look real.
They look real. Yeah. I'm sitting here right now. This is why. This is nice. I'm on a different connection. Thing in my three muskies right in front of me. Mm-hmm. A couple of deer racks behind me.
40.
Yeah. A couple like a giant wall.
No, but I'm looking at the three, and I'll tell you what. I have a real one. I have a replica, and I have a Mike Stimmel replica, and that's the realest looking fish up there.
Mm-hmm.
He did my pike, and it's probably one of the best mounts. I mean, I would say in terms of being realistic.
Yeah.
I think it's the most, and I don't know if it's the clear coat because it's not overly done.
Yeah, that's what I think it is.
Yeah, that clear
coat. It just looks real. I mean, it looks like the fish. You can see every little scale indentation. You can see everything. And
mm-hmm.
It looks like a real fish.
Yeah, those other the replicas they put, you know, these bait makers are putting on their baits. It's epoxy. You know, it looks crazy.
The other ones, because I got two Fatanis right here.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're great.
They're great looking, but there's something about that clear that, like, mm-hmm. I think just is taking away from it. But at the same end, you know, what are you supposed to else put on it?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't put any clear, it don't look right. If you put too much, it doesn't look right. I think Stimmel, I don't know what he's doing, but it's a perfect balance of like a matte kind of clear that's not real glossy.
Yep.
And
the nicest thing about this one I'm looking at right now is there's a raptor hanging out of his mouth.
Love that.
Like Ranger.
Yeah.
Gold Repeller
Raptor.
Yes, my fish mounts are in the podcast studio temporarily until I figure out what I'm doing in the main room. Better than being on the floor.
Yeah, I went with, just for consistency, what's up on my wall with those muskies. It's not a bad choice. We've talked about the replicas and the pros and cons of them in many podcasts, but I went with that nice piece of driftwood.
A real negative to a skin mount, especially after what we just hit on, is the fact that since you don't have the fish, you can't do a skin mount.
Yeah. Indeed.
That's pretty obvious, but I figured I'd point it out.
Yes. That wrapped up our fishing season. I mean,
Vance got to do his first day of rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Saw tons of deer.
Yes.
Then we did the big group hunt, which wasn't very group oriented. It was more, let's spread out and try to shoot something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went to Kentucky I did archery, then I went to Kentucky, had a good time down there. But in terms of podcast group things, we did that hunt. Todd shot a nice deer. And I mean, I saw those same bucks a ton of times.
Yeah.
You were seeing some deer, and then, I guess we're an hour and 14 into this. About, do you want to tell the story of redemption on Vance's part, or do you want me to tell it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so there we were.
I make it sound really terrible. I would.
There we were.
Anticlimactic.
The elements were against us.
Mm-hmm.
It was a warmer day in the dead of winter.
It was.
Sitting in the one of my enclosed blinds, shooting houses, as some call them, and waiting for a doe or a buck, something to step foot into this food plot that I made.
Yes.
Some people don't call this hunting, but it's harder than it sounds. Sitting there cracking jokes with Vance, whispering.
Yeah.
And there it happens. Behind us, I see movement, and it was a deer running.
Mm-hmm.
And then another deer running. And they end up working their way around us and being in front of us, and we scoped them out, and they were button bucks, and we're like, let's pass.
Yeah.
So then they run off, probably 40 minutes later, give or take. I told Vance, I said, they're just going to appear.
Mm-hmm.
When you're hunting the food plots, they literally just appear. And I look up, and there's one standing in the food plot.
Mm-hmm.
And I look to my right, it's very close to where I shot my buck 2015. There's another one. I think you pointed that one out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like a train. Another one came out, another one came out, another one came out, another one came out. Now we have six in the food plot.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, there's the big doe right there. And we wanted to make sure, we didn't want to shoot a button buck, which kind of leads us into a discussion that we might kind of wrap up the show with, is what deer can you shoot by people's definitions? But anyways, this one deer is standing there. Finally, we get a clear shot at it. And there was some miscommunication. And a clean miss happened. And Vance was kind of down on himself. And I said, don't worry about it. We still got time. It wasn't by the time that we got reloaded that there was another deer standing right there after these six had left.
Yeah.
Literally, I'm going to say no more than 30 seconds, but probably like 15 seconds.
Yeah, I was like, there's a deer.
Yeah, I mean, you were like mumbling to yourself.
Yeah.
All disgruntled. And it was standing right there.
Yeah.
It like appeared out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, it's bigger than the one that was just ran off that we were going for.
Mm-hmm.
And so readjusted, boom, got it. Good hit. Now it's my turn. We wait and wait and wait. And another deer kind of got to the edge of the food plot. But after two shots, they kind of stayed away.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, and I thought about it. I'm like, I made the comment like, Vance, that could have been a button buck. It didn't make sense for me to say that based on the size of the deer, but it was bigger than the deer that was originally shot at.
Mm-hmm.
We get down there, and there it is. It's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I go right to the head, and I'm like, this is the biggest button buck I've ever seen. And I look, I'm like, no, those antlers are gone. And I'm like, so, you know, I've never experienced this before. I'm like, Vance, grab its back leg, flop it open.
Yeah.
And just see if it is, if it's a boy.
Yeah.
And the family jewels were there. And I'm like, yeah, it was a buck.
Mm-hmm.
So we take care of the paperwork. We drag it out. We don't gut it there because there were a whole bunch of deer beds. We gut it out and we package it up. And we just, you know, relieve in the story about redemption.
Yeah.
And why I bookmarked,
mm-hmm,
the Kentucky tournament, and sometimes redemption is just as quick as you can reload.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, that thing was right there, and it was misty, and that deer.
You didn't make that deer run. I shot my deer out of the same stand, and I let it run
closer,
way out of there. So it got out of the. I wanted all the scent out of there.
Well, this deer actually died in a spot where there were like five or six deer beds.
Yeah.
So, and I said, Vance, you're going to learn what it's like to drag a deer.
Mm-hmm.
And Vance is, I'd say, in good shape. Is it tough to pull a deer?
Yeah, it's tough. And it's especially tough when you have equipment on you.
The first leg of it, you didn't. I had everything.
Yeah.
Except the deer.
Yeah.
And then we switched off. I did the next leg, and then, what was I on the phone with, Todd?
Yeah.
No, I had a phone call. My dad called me,
mm-hmm,
and I was on the phone, and then Vance had, like, the rest of the stuff, and he was pulling it,
mm-hmm,
on a slight downhill. I'm not going to say it was, like, you could sled ride, but it is some work, even with snow.
Oh, yeah, with snow and
equipment hanging off your arms and stuff. You know, and you got the hoof in one hand and you're trying to keep the weapon held correctly.
Banged, the smoke getting banged around.
Yeah.
And all that. So, I mean, anyways, it was a good time, but it was a great story of redemption. And Todd ended up chopping it up, and he agreed after all the dust settled that it was probably a year and a half old that had dropped its antlers. And Todd, do you think it had some head wounds on it? Do you think that was the cause?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it looked like he got gored back to the head or something, and then just made him drop his antlers early.
Mm-hmm.
So
I butchered lots of them. I've killed some of them. When we've been trying to pick a nice big doe out of a crowd at a distance, and you shoot and you walk up and it's a shit antler buck, which would have been maybe one you didn't want to shoot, because that's going to be one that's going to make it to be at least a 2.5-year-old. But
now that leads us
can't
right
do anything
into
about it.
What we're going to do, we're going to wrap up this podcast with this discussion, because we wanted to earlier and it just never fell in place. What deer are you allowed to shoot?
Yeah,
I
talk about this all the time when you go with different people. Depends on which crowd you're with.
There's
no deer.
Yeah, there is no deer that you're allowed
to
shoot.
There is no deer with every crowd that you hunt with that is good to take.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'll break this down. The buck I shot in Kentucky wasn't one they wanted shot.
Mm-hmm.
But I bring it home, it's very close to a three-way tie of number two on my biggest deer.
Mm-hmm.
I would, you know, granted, I mean, I'm splitting hairs here like an inch or two, but it's right in with one. I got a shoulder mount, my 2014 buck, and it's in that mix.
Mm, yeah.
And it's not my biggest, I can tell you that, but that was a deer that, okay, so right there, that was a deer that should have been passed up by mistake. However, here, it's essentially tied for second.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a deer that there's some hunters in PA that haven't seen a deer that big ever hunting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
that's the difference when you get into doing all these hunting trips. Like I said, it depends on who you're going with. I've gone with people of all levels, same as muskie fishing, you know. You get guys that excel, do it all the time, not that big of a deal. You get other guys that are looking to catch a muskie. Hunting is the same way. I've gone with guys that are like, you know, don't shoot a button buck. Shoot the big mature doe.
Now, let's break it down on the deer. The button buck, that is going to be the future big bucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I don't know when it happens, but I've heard tell that those button bucks, whether they're doing it right before the rut, when they're still button bucks, or the spring, they leave the area.
Yes, I've heard that. Move a mile.
I mean, I've heard, more than a mile. It's to reduce, I guess it's theorized, for inbreeding.
Mm-hmm.
So that buck doesn't go breed its mama or its sister.
No, that's right.
And so really, if it's in the spring, like it seems to be, there's some deer shuffling around once winter breaks. I see a lot more bucks spring, summer, very early fall, and then things peter out for me. They could be moving in that time then. So the button buck you shoot on your property may or may not even be around. Obviously, if it's dead, it's not going to be around. But if you let it walk, it could be someone else's buck.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's that. Then a small doe. Well, the small doe are small. If you're going to put a tag on something, you might as well put it on something with meat.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got a more adult doe, a year and a half or older. Well,
that's next year's bucks.
She could be crapping out some good bucks next year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Who knows what she's pregnant with.
Or who knows?
Some people don't want you to shoot that.
Yeah, she might also be the one that will runs in front of you with that big buck chasing her.
Yes.
So, you know, but I've seen pictures already on Facebook while on just some PA hunting stuff some group I'm in, they're saying, this is why I don't like, I'm not going to break down the law, but in Pennsylvania, your flintlock tag, if you go for the flintlock season, which is going on right now, your buck tag can be used as a doe tag. And there's people complaining that they don't feel that that's right because, and they show pictures of two little baby deer fetuses from someone that shot a doe in this late season because they're more developed.
Yeah.
And I also brought up the one family member of mine who said they don't, they used to not shoot doe because they don't believe in abortions.
Huh.
Because even during rifle season, those doe are more than likely pregnant.
Mm-hmm. They're already pregnant.
So
that's exactly it. So what's it matter? If you shoot one that's a year to year old, it was going to be pregnant the next 5 years if you didn't shoot it.
Yeah, if it's still alive, it's going to be, it'll produce 10 deer roughly.
There's no end to this.
So then looking back to Vance's deer that he shot that was tagged legally with a doe tag because it didn't have antlers. It
didn't have antlers.
It
shed its antlers.
It shed its antlers. But that deer, when it comes down to it, has no real bearing on the population. It's the female deer that are going to be the ones that you want to kind of hold higher.
Mm-hmm. Other than the fact that that was a shed antler deer that made it through, and he was going to be 2.5 next year. What was he going to be the next year?
Yeah.
What was he going to be the next year?
I know that deer during the summer of 17 is probably going to be eaten and enjoyed. That's what I know.
It's going to be gone.
Yes.
So, and nothing lasts forever. Yeah. Everything's going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's cover it. Button bucks are the future. A buck that's not big enough will be frowned upon. If you shoot a buck that's too big, you're going to get hate, jealousy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what's big enough? There's people that are passing 150s, 160s for the 180s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You shoot a giant buck, like I saw a bunch on Facebook. I immediately see, oh, what high fence operation was that in? Or did you walk it out or did the owner walk it out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all that. I don't know. It's, I guess we'll end it with, shoot whichever deer you want to shoot, as long as it's legal.
Yeah.
So.
There's lots more coming.
Yeah. Happy with my redemption, deer.
I'm happy that it happened so quick.
Yeah.
So, anyways. Our year-end review, our first power rankings, our first thing in the new studio, our first thing with this new equipment. Hopefully it sounds good. And check out Boss Shad, Musky Max, Mark's Bait Tackle Ammo, Ravenna, Ohio. They have the online store up. They got a Facebook page, BossShad.net, Paul Fristerio on Facebook. Find them. Tell them you saw it on the podcast, or heard on the podcast, I should say. St. Croix Rods, Best on Earth, Fat Easy Musky Products. Look for us at the shows that we hit up in the beginning. And Muddy Creek Fishing Guides. We got two of the guides here. And thanks everyone for listening, and have a good, I guess we're going to be putting one up tomorrow. So
yeah,
we'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya. Thanks.